what I think that is important to recognize is that our hospital preparedness doesn't happen starting when there's a disaster. It exists and it has for many years, but specifically the last decade, post 9/11, significant resources have been put in place by the hospital community to help have the capacity to deal with basically all hazards, whether that is a natural disaster or an incident, whether that be terrorist or something else, you know, that were to happen, the chemical spill, or you know, something that would be similar to Ebola, like a pandemic. And so, you know, it isn't that things start when we hear that there may be Ebola coming to the United States or to Missouri. The plans are in place. The systems have been taught to the people who have the ability to affect the outcome. And the equipment is on site and in mobile reserve so that it can be moved to those locations.
Well, I can think back. Hadn't been that many years ago that everybody was all worried about the swine flu sweeping through the country.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got Ebola that is the hot health button that everybody is trying to push. And we've had other things. And on top of that, we've had tornadoes. We've had floods. The most common thing is we have the common ordinary flu that sometimes hits us harder than ever. And you're saying that our hospitals are positioned in Missouri so that they can respond anytime to any kind of thing like this.
That is the level of preparedness that the hospital community has been working towards. We have, over the course of the last decade, been investing significant resources in the capacity, not just the physical capacity to have the supplies in place, but also to have the intellectual capacity, the staff training, to know how to manage through either whether it's a disaster or a pandemic.
Federal money, though, that helps set up a lot of these plans and a lot of these programs seems to have shifted focus in the last year or so. Is that right?
Well, we have seen about a 40% cut in funding through the hospital preparedness plan, or hospital preparedness grant, that is the State Department of Health gives us to implement the hospital side, that is through the federal government.
Has that altered the approach that hospitals have taken, or is this just a timely switch? Because at this point, hospitals probably are pretty well prepared, and there's another part of the planning effort that needs a special focus. Is that what's going on?
Well, I think certainly during the course of federal funding, we've seen that we've made a large investment initially in the infrastructure, the equipment, the communications equipment, the supplies, and the like. That help deal with a disaster. We then spent the latter part of the decade then building the training around that so that the individual hospitals know how to use incident command system that's used by all first responders from basically the local level all the way up through the highest federal level. I think there may have been thinking that the need for resources has diminished. This just is another example of why that really isn't the case, that if we want to have the capacity in real time to deal with emergencies, we can't decide that this is something we will defund.
One of the points that's in the plan is, and you mentioned this earlier, I think, is communication. Can we talk a little bit about how communications have improved during this time? Because it's important that the whole communications network be available, not just hospital to hospital, but hospital to local health department, hospital to various emergency responders, and a lot of other elements that go into this business of responding to emergencies, whether it's man-made or natural disaster. How does this network fit together, and how do hospitals play into it?
Well, there's certainly an equipment capacity that we have. And in fact, one of the interesting things about the tornado in Joplin that destroyed the hospital down there had actually one of our equipment, our communications trailers that was destroyed during that tornado. We were able to take a communications trailer from another location and move it down there so that while the utilities were all out, that hospital and the people who were responding in that area had capacity to talk to first responders, other hospitals, and the like. But that's not just a matter of having the equipment. It's also a matter of having the capacity to work together. And part of the emphasis has been to make sure that regionally and statewide, the individuals who are in charge of responding to a health emergency have the capacity to talk to each other and have the relationships to talk to each other. And we've made a significant progress in that regard as well.
I was on an aircraft carrier a month ago, and I was impressed by the fact that every day they're training for combat, or they're training for an emergency of some kind. Every single day, there's never a day goes by without them training for something to be ready. Does that happen in our hospitals too? Is every day in some way within a hospital there's some training of dealing with an emergency going on at some form?
There is the tabletop type exercises that go on a very regular basis. Every day is an emergency at a hospital in one way or another. And so we have a lot of experience dealing with this, and it gives us the ability to then understand how the systems need to work when it comes to dealing with a much larger scale emergency. Interestingly, the Missouri Hospital Association annual Emergency Preparedness Conference happens to be going on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week as a lot of this is unfolding. And it has given us the opportunity to have all the right people in the right place to have the discussions about what, as a state, we're doing that they can then translate down into what, as individual facilities, they need to be doing.
I don't know if you have been up to any of their sessions so far, but I imagine you have looked at the agenda. Did you see anything on the agenda that indicates there's any real major changes in direction for dealing with emergencies at the hospital level?
There isn't, because the fundamentals really don't change in these type of situations. What has changed is the emphasis from that all-hazards approach to an opportunity to talk about and continue to educate specifically on Ebola. So having everyone in the room, the ability to translate what might work at a very large hospital with large capacity and a small hospital with more limited capacity, and to have a collaborative approach to that is really actually not only great because it's happening this week because of that that conference, but also because that is how you improve quality across the board, is understanding the dynamics of how each individual facility will address it. And if you looked at Joplin, it was a good example. When one hospital goes down, the other goes up and it increases. And so these are the learning opportunities that we have. Some of it is real, and unfortunately, in Missouri, but because of the fact that we've had floods, we've been planning for earthquakes forever, and we've had tornadoes on a regular basis, we are well positioned.
Okay. Well, I saw, as I said, I saw all these things going on today, and then you sent me the report, which I really appreciated getting, and I thought, okay, this is time that we actually started talking about some of this stuff. And whether it's Ebola or something else, the basic message is hospitals are ready and hospitals are flexible to deal with whatever they have to deal with.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And I think that in a time like this, probably the most important thing, the hospitals will be prepared. So Missourians need to understand that. And whether it's what we have now, or whether it's with what we will, if we have an incident of Ebola in Missouri, what will ultimately come from CDC and the State Department of Health, we'll be okay. One of the biggest problems in a situation like this is the absence of information. And Missourians, if they're not hearing from the CDC or from the Department of Health, may be wondering what they can do. Well, in this case, there isn't anything that they should be doing actively other than paying attention. They should, though, look to the State Department of Health and the CDC, because if things change, there will be information, and there will be, as part of any good plan for an emergency, a listing of things that citizens should be doing. In the interim, if they're worried about it, they should go to the State Department of Health's website, look at Ready in 3, so that they can understand what, as an individual, they can do.
I just thought of something, because I was just reflecting on the fact that the County Health Department called a news conference this afternoon to say that this report had come in, and it was a false report, and so on and so forth. And so I thought, okay, here we are. Here's the source. of somebody who's already in the rumor control business. This kind of talk might be moving throughout the community, and it's important for somebody to get out in front and say, hey, calm down, it's only a rumor and it's not true. Are hospitals good sources for rumor control in a community? Should somebody call a hospital and ask, or what is their role in that field, do you think?
The hospitals are a partner in the emergency response community, but these type of activities are generally public health and government as the main source of information. And because we are we have our own component of it to handle. Now, will we always answer the phone and provide that kind of information? Absolutely. But the lead really needs to be the public health authority. And at the most local level, that's how incident command works until it becomes a larger incident. And so the county or the city health department that is managing through that is the exact appropriate organization to be doing it.